Thank you. Boy, that was a good meal, wasn't it? I love tacos. If I wasn't preaching, I'd eat like eight. But I told one of them when I was going through the line, I said, if I wasn't preaching, I'd just pull a chair up right here. And y'all just keep serving me. And I want to say thank you to the ladies and all those in the church that helped cook and bring the food and the meal. We appreciate that. Appreciate Brother Merrick. Appreciate the pastor here, this church, and what they've done for my parents. My mom and dad were in bad need of a church when they came here. Amen. That's a joke. Y'all are acting like, yeah, you're right. Oh. But I appreciate it. I was asking Brother Mary, Dad, how long y'all been here now? 15 years? 14 years. All right. And so it'll stay open as long as they're around. Amen. So, but I appreciate what you guys have done for my parents. And I always enjoy coming and hearing your pastor preach. You've got a fine preacher, and I love hearing him preach. It's just a joy to be here. Appreciate Brother Chad putting all this together and and doing all of this. It's hard to entertain teenagers. I'm telling you right now, looking out at you, it's hard. Y'all are looking at me like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to smile, laugh? What am I supposed to do? You know, that's what he looks like. Hey, we're going to play a game. Y'all did good. Hey, a couple of y'all did really good. Y'all got into it. I appreciate you doing that. Some of you needed to trim your eyebrows before we did this game. That would have helped. Slide right in there a little better. A couple of your eyebrows were getting in the way. I am officially at the age I have to trim my eyebrows. When I was your age, I thought that was totally unmanly. But after they stick out far enough, I can see them. I think it's time to trim them. I trim them. But you're going to get there. You laugh. You think that's weird, but it'll happen to you one of these days. But I got it caught in the car door one time, so I decided I should trim it. But amen. Appreciate Brother Bell and his message this morning. Boy, young people, Brother Tony says this all the time, our youth guy. And I was talking to my son two, 3 years ago, and Brother Tony has said this repeatedly. At some point, God has to become your God. I don't know how many times he said that to our young people. But my son was making some decisions and what he was going to do with his life and direction. And he come home one day, and we were talking, and he said, "Man, I'm out mowing, and I just, the Lord, I'm thinking of what Brother Tony said and the message he preached, and Lord just told me, at some point, I've got to become your God." And I made a commitment that day that he would be my God, not just the God of Brother Tony or of Dad and Mom, but his. And at that moment, it made a change, because suddenly now what God was trying to say was not just what Dad wanted him to hear or Brother Tony, it was what God wanted him to hear, and what a difference it made. Appreciate that message and a reminder of how important it is that it has to become personal for you. Take your Bibles, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I appreciate nobody stealing my notes. I asked your pastor, I said, "Is it safe to leave my Bible here?" And I wasn't really worried about you teenagers, just to be honest with you. And I was worried about other ones. And preacher said, "Nobody would ever steal a page of your notes." So I'm looking through. If I get up, I'm like, "Well, let me double check, make sure everything's where it's supposed to be." But I'm going to try to help you. I'm just going to try to be kind of specific about a couple things. And my desire, as I've prayed when Brother Merrick asked me to come several months ago, and as I've been praying about it, and closer we get to it, the more I pray about it, is I hope that I can somehow help you just walk a little bit closer to the Lord from being here. I hope the young person that's struggling with whether they want to walk in the center of God's will can just get some encouragement. And I hope the one that's serious can maybe be just pushed a little bit farther to do that. So I want to just kind of think on one simple thought here. In Matthew chapter 19, look what he says in verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" Well, that's a great question, isn't it? It's the right question. What do I need to do so that I can have eternal life? Now, we haven't talked much about salvation, and we assume, sometimes to our detriment, that in this group, that everyone maybe is saved. Let me tell you this. If you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're missing out on the best thing that ever could happen to you. I love being a Christian. People say, "Well, you know, if you become a Christian, you have to give up this or do that." My life's been the greatest since I've been a follower of Jesus Christ, and I enjoy life. I have a lot of fun, and I get to laugh. I have good fun, clean fun, right fun. I don't have to go to hell and worry about waking up in the morning and wondering if everything I did last night catches up to me. Amen? And so being a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never turned from your sin to Jesus Christ, maybe the question you need to ask is, what do I need to do to have eternal life? This young man came and asked the Lord that. And the Lord said to him, verse 17, he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none but a good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" I want to focus on this thought. What lack I yet? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us now, just for a few minutes as we get back into your word. I pray that you'll help us to listen. Thank you for the wonderful messages this morning. Thank you for the meal. Thank you for this church and Brother Chad and all they did to prepare for it. But Lord, we pray now that we'll focus our attention for a minute on the Word of God, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to work in each of our hearts and challenge us wherever we are. And Lord, I love the fact that the Holy Spirit can speak to every individual when we're all at different levels spiritually, and help us to grow from being here and hearing your Word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What lack I yet? This young man did a lot of things right. He did a lot of things right. He asked the right questions. It's a good question to say, what do I need to do that I can have this thing called eternal life? I hear you preach about it, and I hear you talk about it, Lord. What do I need to do that I have? It's a great question. He asked him what he lacked yet in his life. He asked the right questions. He came to the right person. He was there talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, I don't know who else you can go to that you want to go to get good answers outside of Jesus Christ. And he went and talked to him. The Bible tells us that he showed the proper respect, that he called him good master. He was respectful when he went to him. He was respectful and he asked his questions. And if we are to believe the young man at his, take the young man at his word, he was obviously a pretty good young man. Don't do all these things. Well, I haven't done all those. I kept those from my youth up. And then he asked the Lord, what lack I yet? I believe this young man was serious. I believe he was sincere. I believe maybe he was seeking. But the problem comes here. The Lord makes it real, real quick. I'm here. I want to ask a question of you, Lord. Okay. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Good master, what must I do? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one. That's God. If you want to do this, keep the commandments. Well, which ones? Well, you got to don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I've kept all of those from my youth up. And then he says this, what lack I yet? Now, this afternoon's message, just to be honest with you, is maybe more targeted to that young person that's here that truly has a desire to do something for the Lord. That you've got some of your ducks in a row. Do y'all know what that means? I don't even really know how to explain that, but I know what it means. But you have some things, you're on track on some things spiritually. You're going to be faithful to church. You're going to be there when the doors are open. You're going to show up for the youth activities. And if they have something special and you're going to be involved maybe in some type of ministry at your church and you're doing all these things and you have a sincere desire to do something for the Lord and you come to the Lord and maybe you're just at this place. What lack I yet? And in this moment, obviously, the young man wasn't quite prepared for the answer. Because the Lord can get to where we live really fast. And this young man said, I've done a lot of the good things, and I've done all these things that would please you, and what lack I yet? And the Lord says to him in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go, sell what thou hast, give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. You know, it's interesting when I read this, my dad and I were talking about this on the way over today, how simple the Word of God is. I have a message I preach called, It's So Simple It Makes Us Look Silly. Salvation is very simple, straightforward. We can see it clearly in the Word of God. We complicate it. Now, it's being separated, sanctified, having standards, all these things. The Bible's very clear on it, but we complicate those things. And honestly, it just makes us look silly because the Lord makes it so very clear and then we mess this thing up. But the Lord came to him and he said, look, if you really want to know what you lack yet, I'm just going to make it very clear. Now, there's no negotiation here. There's no bargaining. There's no hard to understand what the Lord meant. He just said this, go sell, give it away. He said, live to have treasure in heaven, not on this earth. Come, leave where you're comfortable. And follow me. Do what I do. Go where I go. Live the way I live. You know, I wonder if there's any young person in here today that would say, Lord, what lack I yet? What's the next thing? What's that thing? I want you to think in the last few minutes of this message on this thought. Lord, is there one thing keeping me back? What lack I yet? And the Lord made it very clear what this young man lacked. Now watch this young man's response. It's very interesting. This young man says in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, so he listened. He heard it. He understood it. I think there's a lot of young people sitting here that are listening to the preaching when you go home tomorrow. Hopefully you'll listen to the preaching. I think you'll listen in Sunday school class. I think you'll hear what the preacher's saying and you'll hear what God's trying to say. I think you'll understand it. And that's what this young man did. And then the Bible says that when he heard that saying, that he went away sorrowful. He was sad. He was convicted. He was sorry that it wouldn't work out. But the Bible says that he went away. He made a choice. Why? Because the one thing he would not give up to follow Christ, Christ exposed. The one thing he wouldn't give up to follow Christ, Christ exposed. Do you know we live in a time when everybody says, if you just do most of the things right, God's okay with it. The problem is the Bible's a little different than that. When you go back and you watch what Saul did, you remember when Saul was supposed to go down and kill Agag and all those guys, and Saul did. He wiped everybody out, but he kept Agag. He got rid of everything, but kept the best of the flock, and he used all the right excuses. Well, the people made me do it. I did it for sacrifice, all these things. And we would step back and we'd say, hey, he did a pretty good job. He did 99% of it. He did 99%. Now, you and I would probably say, if we could live 99% of the things God tells us, we'd probably say we did okay. Pretty successful. You better understand something. We got to understand something. God sets the standard, not you. God decides where we're supposed to hit the mark, not you. And God said, this is what I want you to do. You go, you kill everything, you kill everybody. And because he wouldn't do it, God said, that's it. Now we would say, Brother Glenn, I go to church all the time. I do some of these things. I do this. I have one area that I just have a lot of trouble in. Can I just tell you that maybe today God is saying, that's the area I'm going to expose. And if you really want, you can be with me, walk with me, be in the center of my will. But you're going to have to be willing to get rid of this thing in your life. I've got to be willing to give it up. You say, Brother Glenn, what if I don't? Here's what I think some of you'll do. I think some of you'll hear what I say. I think you're listening to what I say. I think you understand. How many of you have an IQ over 2? You mean to raise your hand. If you don't know what that means, raise your hand. I'll help you out. But you can understand what we're saying in the preaching. And when you hear it, you can be convicted. You may even feel sorry. You may be, hey, I wish I didn't have this problem. I wish I didn't do that. But you can get up and leave here, get in the van, get in the car and drive home and be sad and walk away knowing that the one thing God just exposed to you, you won't give up. I don't think, you're not going to be mad. I don't think you'll key my car. What kind of car are you driving, brother? That's the one I'm driving. That's interesting. You're mad. No, I don't think that's what you're going to do. You may be sorrowful. You may be sad about it. You may have been convicted before about it. And yet, if you're not willing to give it up, the Lord will hold that. And he'll say, listen, this is the thing that's keeping you from following me. I've done all these things. I've kept all these commandments. I'm a good guy. I'm asking the right person. I'm asking the right questions. Oh, come on, Lord, let me at least have those things. The Bible says he walked away for he had great possessions. And at the end of the day, can you imagine this? Think about this for a minute with me. At the end of the day, he missed walking this earth with God. Because he had stuff that was not going to last. That he valued more. He could have walked with God. Young people, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. I do know in the experience that I've had working with young people, that there's two or three things in our years of youth ministry that we've battled over and over and over, and I'm sure it's universal. Some of you in this room are battling music. You're going to have to be willing to give up music that doesn't please the Lord. You say, Brother Glenn, I don't listen to the music for the words. I like the rhythm, or I like the beat, or I like whatever. Listen, there's no good rap music. There is no good rock music. There's no good country music. Elvis, just because he sang How Great Thou Art at the end of his concert, wasn't a good guy. Well, I have Elvis gospel album. Why? This guy was a drug addict, a drunk, a womanizer, the king of rock and roll. And yet we somehow embrace him because he sang a couple spiritual songs. So you're going to have to say no. Now I'm going to be real with you, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. This may be the last time your pastor ever invites me to preach. My flesh started liking country music when I was about 16, 17 years old. I worked for the vet. He had it in his truck all the time. I never really started listening to it on my own. It just kind of got exposed to it. Before long, my flesh liked it. Before long, I'm enjoying it. Knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. By the way, young people, if you're sitting here and you're listening to rock music, rap music, Christian country music, excuse me, you know it's wrong if you're saved. If you don't think it's wrong, you're probably not saved. You say, I don't have any problem with it. You're probably lost. Because the Holy Spirit of God has a problem with it. So I'm listening to this, and then I go off to Bible college, and I didn't have much trouble when I was at Bible college because they're just I wasn't around that kind of crowd. I came back, started working for the vet again, and I'm 21, 22, 23, and I'm listening to it. And I don't know how the Lord does this. I have never heard the audible voice of God. That's a good thing, by the way. But I'm driving in my car, listening to country music. And brother, it was as clear as if God was in the car and said, choose. Choose. You can serve me with your life, or you can enjoy this country music, but you ain't going to get both. Choose. And I reached up and turned that dial off. And I said out loud in my car, I choose you. Amen. Now you say, Brother Glenn, did you ever hear a song and, hey, listen, it's embarrassing. A few years ago, I'm walking in the store, some old country song's playing. I do not even realize that I'm singing it. My son's with me. He's like, Dad. I'm like, what, you don't know this one? that's not what I said. That's not what I said. He's like, Dad, you're singing that song. I said, oh, no, man. I don't want to. I don't have a desire to. I don't know any of the new stuff. I don't know. Thank God that the Lord's helped me, gave me victory over that. But there was a moment I had to choose. The Lord, in a moment, exposed something to me and said, you want to follow me? This is the thing you better take care of. You can choose. I often wonder what would have happened if I'd have said no. I'm thankful I don't have to worry about that. But I often wonder what happens. Because I've seen other people say no. And I've seen where their life end up. And I can remember that moment. And some of you are in that moment. Some of you are sitting here right now and your parents don't know it. Your youth pastor doesn't know it. But because of the access that you have with your phones and everything else, you're having trouble with your music. And you're not dealing with it. And the Lord may expose that to you. May have been repeatedly exposing it to you. Hey, you want to follow me? You've got to be willing to give up the music. Now, some of you are going to be saddened. Some of you are going to hear it and understand it. Some of you are going to leave convicted because it's a great possession to you. And you're going to miss walking with God because of music. Young ladies, I'll tell all you young ladies, I preach this pretty hard to our young ladies. If your boyfriend likes rock music, rap music, you can just mark it down. He ain't going to treat you right. That music degrades women like crazy. And if he's filling his mind with that, he's not going to treat you right. I've told our girls, if your boyfriend, you know one of you guys, if there's a guy in our church that says he likes you and you know he's listening to rock music, come tell me. Man, you should see the boys sweat in our church, man. Whoa. Because I'll just tell them, I don't want you to have any part with these girls that want to do something for the Lord. You can't, because it impacts you. Some of you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you may have to give up to follow the Lord. But it's a great possession to you. And you'd rather hopefully one day marry that guy or marry that girl, and that's more important to you than following Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is going to expose that to you. The Lord's going to expose that through the preaching, through the Word of God, through the men of God that you have in your life, through the Sunday school teachers that you have over time. The Lord's going to convict you of that. He's going to show it. You may be coming saying, Lord, what is it I need to do to walk closer to you? Here's a problem. You go, whoa. I hear you. I understand, but I'm sad. That's a great possession to me. I want to be sensitive with this next issue, but I think it's something that we got to talk about because it's going on rampantly in our youth groups and in our Christian youth groups. Some of you young men may be here, you may have trouble with pornography. Now, I'm going to be sensitive. Listen, it was bad in my day, but the little device you can carry around in your pocket and get it anywhere nowadays has made it 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced any of you young men that want to do something for the Lord, you need to go down to the store with your parents and you need to have them shut off the internet on your phone. I'm convinced of it. Now, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like what I'm saying, but I'm convinced of it. My son, our son, Chad, we made a decision when he started. We got him a track phone first, and then he could move up. And then, of course, he's graduated high school, and he's a grown man and makes his own decision. But he still lives with us. And to his credit, to this day, he still has that shut off on his phone. Mom knows the password. I don't even know the password. I don't even know if Mom remembers the password. If we were in an emergency and needed it, I don't know that we could ever get it turned on. But he does it for his own. He says, I want to serve the Lord. I know I don't have a desire to do it, but this is so a problem for young men. And he made a decision. I'm going to make sure it's shut off. I'm going to make sure I can remove that part. Now, some of you young men are sitting here, and you're good kids, and you're fighting this battle, and you know it's tearing up your life. You know spiritually you're struggling with it. And you say, Brother Glenn, I know this is the thing. And you say, well, I want help with it. Let me say this. Again, I'm going to be real with you. I was exposed to pornography when I was 15. I had an uncle that exposed me to it. 15 to 17 were some of the most miserable years of my life. I'd get it right, go back. Get it right, go back. Get it right, go back. You say, Brother Glenn, what saved you? I'm going to tell you what saved me. What saved me was when I left home and went to Bible college, I had no access to it. See, in our days, we didn't have cell phones. Man, that's how old I am. We didn't have cell phones. So by going there and getting away from the uncle and getting away from that, the Lord gave me victory in a time because there was no exposure. Young man, I'm going to tell you something. You've got to get away from this. You say, Brother Glenn, there's got to be a cure. I can tell you the only way you're going to get it, you've got to get completely away from it. You've got to have no access to it. I had a man come to me in our church. And he and his wife were having trouble. His wife had caught him with pornography. I said, here's what you're going to do. I'll help you. I'll work with you. And I'll tell you, let me say this to any of you young people. I hope this is your youth workers' desire. I tell our church people this all the time. I do not care what sin you are in the middle of. I'll walk with you forward. Amen. I will. God will forgive you of anything. Amen. And God will deliver you from any sin. And this pastor, I tell my people, you're my flock. I'll walk forward with you. You want help? I'll help you. And I hope these young men, or these ladies and these men here, I'm trusted by faith, they're in the same boat. You're struggling with this. You need some help. You say, Brother Glenn, this is the thing that's just keeping me from going forward. Hey, give it up to walk with God. Amen. I told this guy, this is the way it's got to be. You got to go. I go down to the cell phone store. I said, I'll go with you. We'll go down. We'll shut off all your internet access, everything. This is his reply. Well, I pay for it. Well, yeah, you're going to pay for it. Yeah. I said, who cares? You're going to honor the contract. You're going to pay the bill, but you're just not going to have access. He asked for his work. He had to work through a laptop. And I said, fine. I said, when you're at home and your wife's at home, you work through the laptop. But anytime your wife leaves, she takes the laptop with her. You say, Brother Glenn, this seems extreme. I'm telling you, folks, if we're going to deal with some of these sins that are keeping us from walking with God, we have to get a little more extreme. Amen. We got a little more extreme. And we see it happening, and it's destroying young people's lives, and it is taking some of our young people down a path that is way of destruction. You say, Preacher, I didn't think it would get this personal. Well, listen, if there's something keeping you from serving God to being in the center of His will, that's the thing you got to deal with. You can blame anything else. You can point to everything else. You can say, I have all these other ducks in a row, but this is the one thing that I lack. Then you got to deal with that one thing you lack. And this young man went away sorrowful because it meant too much to him. It meant more to him to keep his possessions than to walk with God. Well, I want to challenge some of you young men that are going forward in your life. You better make sure that in everything that you ladies nowadays do, you got to make sure the Lord is number one from day one. This old world will pull you and get you off track. Money has become such a thing people worship. You know what money is? Money's a tool. You know what it's a tool to do? What God's called you to do. I use money to take care of my wife. I have a biblical obligation to provide for my wife, to take care of my children. I have a biblical obligation to tithe and give offerings and to help others. I have a biblical obligation to be able to meet needs when God allows me to because of what He's given me as money. It's just money. It's a tool. Don't worship it. Destroy you. The love of money. Not money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Some of you young ladies are struggling with social media. I'm not a social media guy. I'm not in the camp of adamantly, you should go chop your iPad up today with an axe. But I just don't do, I don't do Facebook. I don't do that kind of stuff. That's just not me. My wife does some. But some of their, some of these young ladies, I've watched some young ladies that have a great testimony to everybody else, and then they get on Facebook, and it's like, what are you doing? It's like you aren't really doing anything wrong if you're just typing it. You know, I would never say that about a person to their face, but I can type it on there and post it for eternity to be on the, you know. If social media is getting, you may have to say, that's the one thing. I got a problem here. Some of you, it's video games. Preacher mentioned it. All right, preacher, I don't have time for this, I don't have time for that, but you go home and you're on, you know, round 872 of some video game. Boy, let me warn you about videos. I'm telling you, nowadays, the way they connect with other people and they're online, the music that's terrible, the imagery that's terrible, the immoral that's terrible, all that within those video games, you say, it doesn't bother me. You can't help but bother you. Right. Impacts you. And these things will happen to us, and we'll go to the Lord and we'll say, Lord, I'm doing a lot of things right. I'm doing a lot of things the way you want me to. I'm pleasing you in all of these areas, but what lack I yet? My prayer is that the Lord exposes that to you. And my prayer is it forces you to choose today. It forces you. You can walk away sorrowful and keep going the way you're going. And you may even be sad about it. You may be disturbed by it. I'm praying there's at least a handful. I'm praying there's a few young people that say, I will give that up to follow Christ. That's what I got to give up. Now, I can promise you this. The thing that you're going to be convicted to give up is going to be something you don't want to give up.
That's right.
I have no problem giving up alcohol. I've never wanted to drink alcohol. I don't have any problem giving up cigarettes. I got my wife to stop smoking last week. Amen. I don't have a problem with some of that stuff, but the Lord knows my problem. I told you before, I'm sarcasm, man. I sarcasm. I have to really ask the Lord to help me when the Lord's helping me. Except for the last 30 seconds where I just blew it. But I have something that the Lord's working on me. It's different than what He's working. You know what we're going to be convicted to give up? Something we like. But you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a decision. You have to have a desire. Now, at the invitation, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to lay them out here. Y'all do whatever you want with them. I have some cards. I've done this with our youth group, and it's really helped our youth group. You say, I don't want to do a card. Don't do it. Our church doesn't like doing it. Don't do them. My pastor hates them. Burn them. I don't care. If you can help you, I want you to help you. But I took ours, and I put our youth group together, and I preached to them, and they come back from camp, and then I followed up with some messages, and they mentioned some things to the Lord. We always have them. When they go off to camp, they got to come, and then when they come home, they got to give testimony in church, what the Lord taught them while they were there. So they're giving testimonies. And then I have them fill out a card and give it to me. Pastor, these are the things the Lord's speaking to my heart about. I then take those cards and I form them into a prayer sheet for our youth group. And I stick them in my Bible. I give them to my youth pastor. I give them to the youth workers that are working in there that I trust to keep things confidential. Because some of them are very sensitive things. And we stick them in our Bible. And then I'll pull that out and we'll pray over those things for those young people. And then I'll actually go to the young person every now and then. I'll say, hey, you know, you come back from camp. You said the Lord was dealing with this. How you doing? It's not to belittle them. It's not to run them down. It's accountability. It's just to say, I know this is something you're struggling with. I know this is something you need help. By the way, every kid in here does stupid things. Oh, let me go a little farther. Every adult in here does stupid things. We don't suddenly grow out of stupid. We're going to do something, and every now and then we're going to need somebody to come along and just be a shoulder or somebody to help us, a hand to pull us along, encourage us. Okay, you messed up. Okay, you blew it. Let's get back up. Let's go on for the Lord. Let's work on this together. I'm here for you. And so we took the cards, and I'm going to lay them up here, and you do whatever you want with them. But if you're serious about it and you got a pastor and a youth director or a youth pastor you can trust, I'd fill that card out. And the card says, the one thing I'm struggling with is, and you write it down. And then here's the tough part. There's a spot for you to sign your name. You say, why? Because I'm hoping there's a few that are saying, I need help with this so I can go serve God. I need help with this so I can please God. I want to walk in the center of His will. You know, it's interesting. I've done this in our church and showed the illustration. I would have a young man come up. He'd be a little scrawny dude. Not that you're a little scrawny, but don't take it personal. I looked at you when I did that. I didn't mean to do that. I'd bring a little scrawny dude up there, and I'd say, this guy, he wants to do something for the Lord. He wants to please the Lord. And then I'd bring some big guy up. And I'd have that big guy grab him, and I'd say to the little scrawny dude, I don't want you to let him take you over there, but I'd tell the other guy, pull him over to that side. Man, he'd drag him, and the kid would be putting his feet in the ground. We've had him drop on the ground and burn the seat of their polyester pants all the way across the carpet. And that big kid's loving it, dragging this little kid. But then I would have a youth pastor and a pastor and a parent, a godly Sunday school teacher, come stand with the little scrawny dude and form a wall in front of that guy. Then I'd tell that other big dude that was all cocky and arrogant and thought how proud he was, I'd say, now go get that kid and drag him over here. And I'd use guys, and I'd tell these men before, I said, if he comes at you, just throw him down. So, you know, I always get some teenager that's cocky, thinks they're really big stuff, and they come running, they hit one of these guys. About the time they hit him, the guy gives him an elbow about chin high. And this kid goes, boom. I said, come on, get that kid, drag him over there. He keeps coming, until finally he's just realized, I can't do this. Listen, young people, can I tell you what you need every now and then? You're not strong enough to do some of this by yourself. It's why God gave you godly parents. It's why God gave you a good youth worker. It's why God gave you a pastor to help you when you're not strong enough. Now, one day, hopefully, you're strong enough to help others. That's the goal. But hey, look up here. Everybody look up here. Please, make eye contact with me. There was a time in my life I wasn't strong enough on my own. I needed help. I had to have a godly pastor. I had to have godly parents. I had to have a godly youth worker. I had to have somebody that came along and reminded me, yeah, okay, you're struggling, but you can get through this. I'm with you. We'll go through it together. I'll walk with this until we get victory in this area. And by taking those cards, these young men have come, and they've filled them out, and they give them to me, and some of the young ladies filled theirs out, and I gave those to a couple of the ladies in our church, and they ask them, and they pray with them about it, and it is usually one thing. I don't ask them to fill out a whole sheet. I said, give me the one thing, and let's take one thing at a time. And this young man said, I got the right questions. I'm coming to the right person. I come with the right attitude. I'm respectful. I'm sincere. I'm serious about this. And the Lord just strips everything away and makes it very clear, here's why you won't follow me. And the Bible says he heard it. He understood it. He was saddened, but he walked away because he had great possessions. Every Christian in this room at some point has to make this decision. Do I love this more than I love the Lord? And I don't care what age you are. It's not an age thing. Every one of us have to come to the place we say, I love God more than this. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what issues you're dealing with. But I can tell you this. The Lord can help you with every one of them. You say, preacher, I don't see a way out. Well, we can show you. We'll help you. We'll guide you. We'll walk with you. You can lean on us for a little while until you get your strength back. And we'll walk down this path with you and help you. Preacher, I'm embarrassed. I get it. By the way, all sin should embarrass you. You should feel ashamed. That's okay. That's the Holy Spirit of God bringing conviction enough to your heart that you realize how wicked it is. That's a good step in the getting this thing right. Come and ask the Lord to help you with it. Fill it out. I have a young lady, I'll end with this. I have a young lady that wrote on there that she has a real problem with her mouth. She's very cutting. My sarcasm is broadsword whacking. Hers was surgical. She knew how to tick somebody off. She could find that one little spot that would get some other girl, and she could poke them right there. And she came to me, and she wrote it down. She gave it to me. She said, "Pastor, if I don't get victory over this, it's going to destroy me." So we began to pray about it. I said, "I'm going to pray about it with you." And I took and gave it to my wife, and my wife and I have been praying about it. And our youth director and his wife, they've been praying about it. And every now and then I'll see her, and we'll just kind of be passing in the church, and I'll say, "Hey, how you doing? Huh?" I said, I understand where you're at. I have a problem with my tongue. I understand. But you can do this. You can do it." And she'll tell us, we'll talk a little bit. And then one day she come down the hall and she was happy. You see this big smile on her face. My wife and I are walking from my office over toward the auditorium. And she, you can see her bounding down that hallway. And she said, Pastor, Miss Julie, you won't believe it." I said, "What?" She said, "I've went 3 days." Yes. Man, we had a good time in the hallway. And I told her, I said, "You ever think you could do it for 3 days?" But God's helping me, and God's giving me the victory, and I want to get over this so God can use me. What's the one thing? What's keeping you from following Christ? Please, don't get on the bus and go home sorrowful. Don't hold on to that possession. That isn't going to have any value in eternity. That's not worth it. And you can leave here walking with God. When I used to go to youth conference, I'd look up and I would see a pastor preaching and I'd hear him say these things. And I always somehow in my mind put him on this really high pedestal that he was some type of extra spiritual, above everybody kind of guy. That's not who we are. There's no difference between me. There's no difference between Brother Bell. There's no difference between your pastor and whatever your pastor is. We're human beings. The difference is this. We finally recognized how great God is, and it hinges on our level of submission to Him. We've all of us had one thing, two things in our life that we finally had to say, "No, I'm giving it up. I'm walking with God. I'm going direction." I'm challenging you to do it now. For me, music, not until I was 23, 24. You need to do it now. Pornography, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, "Lord, I'll give it up." What one thing, Lord, what one thing, if I was to come down here and ask you to give me one thing that you want me to work on, what one thing can I work on so that I can be walking in the center of your will? I'll lay the cards down here in just a minute. We're going to pray. If you want one, you take it. You don't give it to me. Don't give it to me. I'd be glad to pray for you, but it's not. I can't help you from Illinois. But take it to your pastor or youth worker and say, "Hey, I need you to help me with this. I want to walk with God." Father, I tried the best I can to help these young people see the need. I think it's exactly what you wanted me to preach. And Lord, I look out this young, these young people, this group, I see such great potential. Lord, we know that Satan's going to try to do everything he can to stop them. Everything. He's a destroyer. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He hates you. And he would like nothing better than to keep these young people from ever serving God. Some of these young people, Lord, they do a lot of things right. They're in church and they're respectful to their parents and they're listening, and they're there to help the youth, and they're doing a ministry maybe even in their church. But there's one thing, and they realize today the Lord, the Holy Spirit, maybe they've known it for a while, but the Lord's just continuing to bring it to their mind today at this service. Maybe, Lord, today's the day that they say, "I'll give that up to walk with God." Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's stand together. The pianist is going to play lightly. If the Lord spoke to you and you need to come to this altar, you come. If you need help, you just ask. Say, "Preacher, I got one thing. I need help with this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't be afraid to come down and just ask the Lord. Don't be afraid, if you need to take a card and ask for a pastor or youth pastor to help you with it.